It was in an earlier century when survival depended upon the harvest. The spring had followed a long, brutal winter, and food supplies for this family of six was dwindling, was running dangerously low. Out of necessity, they had severely rationed their food. The pangs of hunger were felt by everyone. With the warming weather of spring, the father took his oldest son out to the barn, where he revealed sacks of grain hidden away in a bin of the dark corner of the barn. The eyes of the boy alighted as he gazed at what he perceived to be a treasure trove of food. "Father," he exclaimed excitedly, "now we have plenty to eat." "Yes, son, but our feasting will have to wait, because this is the seed for the spring planting." And with that, the father took the sacks of grain to the freshly plowed fields and began to drop the seed into the ground. The boy watching as the rich earth received the offering. It was an offering of faith, an offering of hope for the fruitful days to come. It was a hard lesson for this young, hungry boy who began to realize the necessity of what his father had to do. This parable illustrates an essential aspect of our faith, a faith which places our hope and our trust in Him who brings and multiplies the harvest. It is a faith grounded in offering. An offering. The offering to God is not out of some notion that God is in need of anything, but rather serves as a manifestation of our faith and trust in Him who provides all things and provides them abundantly. The offering. The offering represents a certain stewardship to which we have been called. The offering represents the very seeds of our lives. In today's gospel lesson from the 8th chapter of St. Mark, we are presented with the story of the feeding of the 4,000. And it's interesting in that this is contrasted to the feeding of the 5,000. The feeding of the 5,000 having taken place in the Jewish region of Palestine. Now this is set in a region of the Gentiles. And so we have this story now set as a reminder that Jesus came not only for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles, that He came as the Savior of the world. And it says, Mark records that Jesus said, "I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their own houses, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from afar." Then His disciples answered Him, "How can one satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness?" Now, it's also interesting to note the fact that they were in the wilderness. This is a motif, a wilderness motif, which harkens back to Moses and the Israelite who wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And it was during that time that God provided them with bread from heaven, the manna from heaven. Jesus now, by St. Mark, is being presented as the new Moses, as that which Moses pointed toward. Jesus, the bread of life. And Jesus asked them, verse 5, "How many loaves do you have?" And they said, 7. So He commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and He took the 7 loaves and gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to His disciples to set before them, and they set them before the multitude. They also had a few small fish, and having blessed them, he said to set them also before them. So they ate and were filled, and they took up 7 large baskets of leftover fragments. The offering of the 7 loaves and a few fish brought about an overflowing abundance that not only fed all these 4,000 people, but also yielded 7 large baskets, it says, St. Mark says, 7 large baskets of leftovers. Like the feeding of the 5,000, it is a miracle of multiplication. In the breaking, in the blessing, in the distribution. But beyond this miracle of multiplication, it demonstrates the need for offering. The need to put our whole hope and trust in our Lord. Offering is something that is intrinsic to our worship of God. From the very beginning, from Abel's offering of the firstborn of his flock in Genesis 4, to Abraham offering a tithe to the priest Melchizedek in Genesis 14 and verse 20, to the offering of the animals and the grain on the altar of the tabernacle and later in the temple, we see offering as a central element to living out our faith. It is with faith and thanksgiving that we offer our gifts, that we acknowledge that God is the giver of life and the source of sustenance, the source of all things. The offering. The offering represents, as I said, the seeds of our lives. God is calling us to plant them. As we come together and each Sunday to worship, again, the offering is an aspect of what we do. We not only present offer the gifts of bread and wine, which traditionally was brought from the homes of people who would bake the bread, who would vent the wine and offer these as gifts, but we also, as a token of our life and labor, we offer our wealth to God. We offer our finances. And Scripture is clear that a tithe, the tenth, is a standard that God has given us. It's really acknowledging that it's not 10% of all of what we own is God's, but rather it's acknowledging that all that we have is God's. And that God is only asking for a tenth. Now I realize, even from my own life and having raised children and living sometimes hand to mouth, that a tenth is not always possible in everybody's situation. That a tithe, rather, is a tithe of sacrificial offering. You see, we don't get legalistic about this. Yes, we should strive for giving minimally a tenth. In some cases, we may be able to afford to give 20 or 30% of all that we have to the Lord. So we don't get so wrapped up in 10% as a legalistic standard, but rather the understanding that we give sacrificially, that we give out of a heart of faith and trust in God, who not only provides, but multiplies abundantly. In St. Luke, the 21st chapter, we read, "And Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in 2 mites, that is, 2 copper coins or pennies. So he said, 'Truly I say to you, that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God, but she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had.'" You see, Jesus is calling us to something radical. He's calling us to not just give a tithe. He's calling us to give all that we have. A tithe simply represents an acknowledgement of that. It represents the seeds of our lives that are to be planted, that are to be deposited within the kingdom of God, the rich earth of the kingdom of heaven, that they might multiply, that they might bear much fruit. We've been called to lay down our lives. And that begins in our baptism. From the epistle lesson this morning from Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 3, St. Paul writes, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also should be in the likeness of His resurrection." St. Paul, in another epistle, uses that metaphor of the seed, like a seed falling into the ground, and it must die, but being raised to new life. A metamorphosis taking place. Something happening that brings out an abundance of that which was died. So St. Paul is telling us in these verses, in these chapters, that we, the seeds of our lives are being joined to Christ in baptism. And in that baptism, there is a burial that is happening, like a seed that is buried into the earth. But something wonderful also happens. We are being raised with Christ in newness of life. And an abundant harvest is taking place. For you see, the offering, the true offering, is the offering of none other than God Himself. And Jesus, His own body being broken, His own blood being shed. In fruition of all which the sacrificial worship of the Old Testament pointed to, of all that we celebrate each time we come together for a Mass. You see, our offering, the offering, is none other than the offering of God being joined to His selfless sacrifice, an atonement of our sins, so that we might be victorious over death and sin and raised to new life. This past week, as you know, I spent the week at our biennial clergy symposium up at Antiochian Village. And one of the wonderful things that I got to experience was, of course, to, as I had announced to you all, that was to receive my Master of Arts degree in Applied Orthodox Theology through the University of Bellarmine. And it was especially meaningful in that our new Father in Christ, Metropolitan Joseph, was able to present me with my cross of graduation from that. And I had often thought in completing the work, all the hard work for achieving that master's degree, that feeling really burned out, quite frankly, from all those years of education and reading and writing the thesis, I quite frankly felt spent. But there was a presentation given by Father Michel Najem this past week regarding a new program that University of Bellarmine is starting. They are starting a doctor of philosophy, a PhD program in Orthodox theology. And I had a sort of a bittersweet moment. For you see, I realize that God has given me a scholastic gift, but at the same time, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. And so in the months ahead, I'll struggle in discerning God's will, in trying to see the seeds of my own life. For each of us have been given a deposit, We've been given a deposit of grace, and it is different from every person. You see, God not only demands our wealth, but He demands our whole lives. Are we willing? Are we willing to plant the seeds? Are we willing to allow the harvest to come to fruition? And the abundant life, and the kingdom life, and giving ourselves away every day to Jesus Christ and to His kingdom. For we have been called to make the offering of ourselves. For ultimately, we acknowledge that it is the offering of God and the way to life everlasting. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.